From Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front, dude.
Just make sure to get a bunch of still, like all over the mic.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University. Beers with the Brewers.
So, hey, welcome to this week's Beers with the Brewers.
Yeah.
Got Adam over here enjoying a resilience.
Yeah.
That's Chris me. Helderman.
Adam.
Hello.
He's having a resilience.
That's him.
Walt Keys.
Yeah. We got Liz Cooper in the Stampede doing sound check behind us.
That's awesome. Now, I heard Alice Cooper was coming. I'm wrong.
This is Alice Cooper's.
I was duped again, but I'm sure niece. I'm sure Liz will be fantastic.
Yeah. Happy Ohio Craft Brewers Conference. Out there, but
got to spend a little time there this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're listening to the show on Thursday, there's a couple more events going to be going through through Thursday this week on January 10th.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of our friends in town we haven't seen for a while.
Absolutely, but absolutely.
Lessons to be learned.
It's good stuff down there. The Hyatt this year here in Columbus, Ohio. Yeah. Very different than normal because you could go home and go to bed.
Yeah, you can sleep in your own bed.
That's kind of cool.
Which has its benefits.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a benefit. So this week we're going to talk about Pina Pants.
What's Pina Pants, Mark?
Pina Pants. It's the best beer name ever, actually. Yeah, Pina Pants is the best beer name ever.
It's a N-Y-A, I believe, with a tilde. N-Y-A.
Yeah.
In your Spanish alphabet.
Yeah, four bullet points on that is pineapples, 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 and pineapples. Mm-hmm. So another beer we want to talk about, and we just tapped it. We've got Resilience on in the tap room, and that is a Sierra Nevada call to arms to raise some funds for the Campfire Relief Fund. It's pretty cool. Everybody stepped up. Raw materials were donated. Those came from Country Malt Group and YCH. 100% of the sales are going to the Campfire Relief Fund. There are breweries all over the U.S. and
1,400 total.
Wow. But,
it was a really cool thing to see the whole industry band together when Sierra Nevada had the fires in their backyard, basically, and sent out the recipe and got some great buy-in from not just the breweries, but the suppliers, too, that they were donating the ingredients to make the beer as well.
Yeah, it's just pale two-row malt, caramel malt, C60, Centennial Cascade hops. They provided a hop schedule and basically their recipe. I think there were some liberties taken here in town with fermentation. It's pretty cool. Our version, it just tastes like an old-school American-style pine and citrus IPA, almost exactly like what you would know Sierra Nevada for, which, to me, kind of fun, kind of nostalgic. Got a little bitterness in here, which in today's IPAs you're not so much used to having, but it's still a real drinkable beer.
Justin brought back a can of the actual Resilience from Sierra Nevada, and we did a taste test against it, and it's pretty damn close, which is exciting.
Extremely similar. Ours may be just a little bit fresher because ours was just packaged yesterday, but... So we got a little feedback.
Uh-oh.
Even Alice Cooper wouldn't let that happen.
Oh, boy.
That's loud.
All right.
All right, we're back.
They're sounding good.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
They're sounding good.
It's kind of like in a movie that happens, and then going to run into the street.
Right.
Like it's Bird Box.
Something just happened, yeah.
Oh.
Bird Box.
Crazy, I was thinking...
Crazy zombies running
Oh, what's the one with the British spies? The newer one. Kingsman.
Oh, yeah.
Where everyone starts murdering each other.
Yeah.
Let's not do that.
I don't plan on it. That.
Well, hey, back to Pina Pants.
Consider me Miles Davis.
Oh, there you go. Well,
our new...
Madison reference.
This is our new... What style are we calling this? Just your hazy?
The hazy.
The juicy. The hazy, the juicy. Suggested pairings on our Pina Pants. Pork belly tacos and white chicken chili.
Oh, that white chicken chili makes a appearance again. I believe we had that a few weeks ago.
Interesting. I kind of requested a vegetarian chili this week, and we killed a chicken instead.
It says chicken. I guess chicken's not vegetarian.
No. Well, they've got some interesting substitutes, I guess.
Yeah, like an Al Pastor taco with, you know, pineapple on top. That'd be pretty good, too.
If you can, if you go to Aloha, the street, get their pork belly.
The Aloha Streetery.
Oh, yeah.
That was amazing.
I've had sweet them a few times here.
It'd be pretty good.
Yeah, and they've been subbing in here for Ninja Bowl this past month. So, yeah, check them out at the tap room on Tuesdays.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of chili, if you were tuning in this week for the chili cook-off we talked about last week, we didn't anticipate the Craft Brewers Conference, so we're going to do that next time.
So, yeah, deep search and the chili cook-off next week.
So I'm looking out in the tap room. I don't see anyone holding a spoon ready to they didn't hear the call to, call to arms last
but week. Maybe they're all going to show up when we're done recording, like wait till like 4:30 and show up, knowing that that's when
just a line of people with
the chili
spoons
will be here.
Yeah, well, hey, it,
hey, our, you told me there was going to be chili.
That's what all of them would sound like. Yes,
it's exactly what a spoon holding fellow would say. The only prerequisite to this chili cook-off is that you use Deep Search Baltic Porter in the recipe.
Yep,
man, I'm on it. I'm on it. I've already got some ideas. You got any ideas, Chris?
Well, I actually just made a chili with 2017 Deep Search for Christmas. It was pretty good.
Okay, you don't have any left. I would say that's cheating. We got to use this year's.
Okay.
That's cheating. You're ineligible to
ineligible.
Win.
I don't even know
that.
Chili
from
I don't
Christmas
think that's a necessary rule.
No.
I mean, Chris put himself to the task of saving that for a chili.
Can I use 2018 Deep Search?
Yes.
We'll have to pull the rules committee.
I think as long as it's a Deep Search Baltic Porter, you're
I
in.
I mean, honestly, as long as you bring some chili, I think you're eligible to win.
Here's what you should be doing with your Deep Search, and this is just my opinion. You should be buying a case of it, drinking 2 6-packs, and keeping 2 6-packs for next year.
It's not the worst idea.
Give yourself
age
a little
as well.
Deep Search Vertical.
Very mini short vertical.
It's like
the shortest of all verticals.
It's a step.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a...
Hey, we got Euchre on Mondays. That's a huge Euchre turnout this week.
Yeah.
Big family reunion at Tap Room.
That's a good transition to talking about upcoming events here at the Tap Room, Mark. As you mentioned, we do have Euchre's back on Monday nights.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to come down and play, everyone that played the previous week is automatically guaranteed to play as long as they show up. But usually there's someone that can't make it for whatever reason or another, so there's some open spots. So if you want to play Euchre, come on down. Pizza provided
Yellow
free
Brick
by our good friends at Yellow Brick. So no reason not to come out on Monday night.
That was my favorite part this week, getting some Yellow Brick pizza.
Yeah, it's always great to see Hajir roll through the door with 15 Yellow Brick pizzas. We also launched a new event this week. This is a movie is what we're calling it. It's a movie-based trivia game. First match last night. Two nights ago, I guess, on Tuesday night.
I came down after the Craft Brewers Conference welcome reception and played a couple rounds with the bartenders. Had a good time. Shout out to Mike Ortiz. He really carried our team for the few questions I was here.
Yeah, so we're going to be playing that again this upcoming Tuesday the 15th. And then it's going to take a little bit of a break, 2 weeks off. We had some previously scheduled events on those Tuesdays, but it will be back as a weekly event starting the first week of February. Get on that. It's a lot of fun. Sort of a different take on a trivia night hosted by our good friend Travis Hosher, who if you are in Columbus, you are probably best friends with Travis already. So come on down and play with us. And then on the 29th, if you follow along on our social media or some other social media or pay attention to the craft beer scene, you may have seen we announced a new collaboration beer with our good friends from Homage and our really good friend Mark Titus of Club Trillion fame. If you're not familiar with Club Trillion, it was a blog written by Ohio State walk-on back in the 2006 Ohio State basketball season. It was the year they had Greg Oden and Mike Conley and went to the championship game.
I think it was the 2008 season is when Club Trillion blog, because this would be the...
Oh, yeah, because he was with those guys, but he started a little later in his career.
This is the 10th anniversary of Club Trillion blog.
Yeah, because he played with those guys, but started the blog a little bit later and played with Evan Turner and those guys. We have announced that beer, and we're going to be launching it here in the tap room on January 29th. That coincides with the Ohio State-Michigan basketball game up in Ann Arbor. So we'll be watching the game. Mark will be here. He promised to bring some friends along. We're launching that beer, and Homage is going to be here with a pop-up store as well. So, yeah, a lot of fun stuff going on to get you through these cold winter months.
So if you're listening to this outside, not familiar with Mark Titus, but you're a college basketball fan, you should. He's got a cool podcast on the Ringer Network called One Shining Podcast. So maybe we'll try to get old Mark on our little podcast here. He's got a little more professional aspect to it.
Get a real pro.
We'll talk about
podcast.
That beer. And that Michigan game. Michigan's, I think, number one or number two in basketball, right?
Yeah. So it should be a big game.
Big game.
Big party. Yeah, the game's at 9, but we'll be kicking things off a little earlier than that, obviously. So
cool.
Yeah.
Cool, cool.
What about this beer, Chris?
This beer.
Oh, Pina Pants.
Pina Pants.
What'd you say, Chris?
Pina Pants.
Oh.
Consider me Miles Davis. I'm just going to keep on with that reference. So for those of you that had our Brew Dog collaboration, Land Dog and Dogland, we kind of just tried to turn up the pineapple on that. Mixed up the hop schedule a bit, but that's about it. It's a hazy beer. We're actually drinking this before it's finished, so right now there's nothing going through that. It is like soup.
It kind of looks like the split pea soup we were talking about last week.
Yes.
Yeah, we learned a little bit about what's going on with this beer at the Craft Brews Conference this morning, that we got a little hop creep going on.
Yes. So with these beers, there's a lot of dry hopping involved, and those hops have enzymes that break down some of the more complex sugars. And then the yeast keep eating them.
Yeah, they're generally not fermentable sugars, right?
Yes. So yeast can only eat sugars that are three, we'll say, rings long, that being glucose, fructose, sucrose,
maltose,
and maltotriose is as big as they will eat. So the other residual sweetness you get in a beer are from, specific gravity as we normally measure it as, those are larger chain sugars from the starches, and the yeast can't eat those.
Which was a question we had on the podcast, with lactose being one of those more complex sugars.
Yeah, lactose cannot be eaten. So that's where those old the milkshake IPAs come into play. But anyway, what this hop creep does is with Pina Pants, we're trying to get it done, just keeps dropping in gravity, and we're like, what the hell's going on with this? And man, OCBA couldn't have come at a more appropriate time, because we found out that it's hop creep.
Yeah, well timed, and that was a really good talk by Tom Shellhammer, who was the keynote speaker this morning. He is a professor of fermentation science at Oregon State University.
Land-Grant University.
Right this there. Is true. Yeah. And this is from Dan Schaefer. Tom Shellhammer, if you're listening. Hammer, you beautiful son of a bitch. There you go.
That sounded just like Dan.
That's what I figured.
Louder than Dan would have said it.
Very true. Sorry, it's my best impression.
That's good, though.
We're excited to actually figure out what's going on. There may be some process changes in the future. But, this beer should turn out great. It's available on draft only. It's a limited, very limited release of 20 barrels. So, you could always get it here at the tap room, but around town it will be scarce.
Yeah, coming in around 8%, 7.8%.
7.8%.
28 IBU.
Yeah, pretty big beer, but those IBUs are really just in there. A lot of aromatic hops.
Yeah, ton of aromatic hops.
It smells like a pineapple.
Palatau Blanc in here, which was the main mix-up from the last one. Adam even said he thought it got some white wine characteristics in it. So, might be getting that from the Palatau Blanc.
Also, Azaka, ID7, and Xythos. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, so we're drinking this, Chris kind of mentioned, it's not really done fermenting. Well, it was done fermenting and during its primary fermentation, so that's where we added the dry hop. But we're having that hop creep, so it's still dropping in Play-Doh.
It's holding steady right now, which is why we dropped it, and we're going to transfer it tomorrow and package it on Friday.
So we're drinking it uncarbonated, straight off the fermenter.
Very true.
So are we tapping it Friday?
Is that the plan right now.
All right.
Barring any other production
delays.
That's
plan A, but yeah, let's wait and see.
It's on the podcast.
See how much it drops.
Yeah, I'm getting
it. Can't cut it out.
I mean, I think that descriptor is right. It's pineapple.
Mm-hmm.
It's pineapple.
It's fruity. It's delicious. Well, once it's carbonated, it'll be delicious.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to give a crushability on uncarbonated beer off the fermenter, but yeah. So right now I got it at a one, because I do have a question for the rest.
If we're drinking it this way, yeah, I think about a one. But
it's probably going to turn out to be a two, is my guess. The actual hop particles can make it very bitter.
Mm-hmm.
You ever put a hop pellet in your mouth? You shouldn't.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
It'll taste hops for week, for probably next day or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely paces you out a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'm thinking it'll be a two crusher, easy.
All right. So Clairvoyant Chris says probably a two crusher. And I'll withhold my judgment until I'm drinking the real thing.
Cool.
But how about this this Resilience IPA? Mm. I know we talked about it. It's kind of that old school.
Yeah.
Get a lot. I mean, you're getting a lot more malt in that than with that Caramel 60. Did we have Caramel 60 originally in Stiff Arm and then took it out, or what was the...
We did have a lot of Caramel in Stiff Arm, and we took it out. So basically, you're looking at the opposite ends of the spectrum as far as IPAs go. You're looking at the... we have the Brutes that are coming out, but the Hazy, Juicy IPA, and then the more malty, bitter IPA that used to be the... You know, and what everyone had.
Yeah.
So I think this is kind of cool. We're drinking these two beers at the same time, because it really is, you know, now and then.
It shows the evolution that, I mean, it's not like we're talking about a style that's changed over 50 years or 60 years, or, you know, you have this historic European style that's now been reinterpreted. The speed at which IPA has evolved over the past even 5 years is crazy to see a lot of the new innovations that have been coming out of the craft movement.
This Resilience really cool. is kind of like hitting the way back machine, and I'd probably give it a 2.5 crusher.
I'd say at least 4. I could do 4 of these.
Man, Adam ain't playing.
No problem.
I'm with Adam. I think it's about a 4.
Chris?
I give it a 2.
All right, look at that. Wow.
I think you could drink as many of these as you could, like Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. So if you like that beer, I mean, I'd say 4.
All right, we're around 3.
So averaging 3? 3. Half a 6-pack.
It's not bad.
Just share it with a friend.
Yeah. That's always the best thing to do with a beer, Chris.
There you go.
So we had a question.
Alice Cooper's warming up back there, man.
Oh, yeah, Alice Cooper sounds great. This was off Billion Dollar Babies.
That's Alice Cooper.
Oh, yeah. I don't know much.
I think this is a sound check.
I'm excited to find out about her tonight.
But yeah, it's going to be
fun. I don't know any of her music, so it'll be a learning experience.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good warming up.
Yeah.
We had a question from a listener this week. Brian Vogel asks, how do you maintain your yeast strains? If you are reusing yeast and becomes better over a couple fermentations, how do you decide to make the change? Love a good stiff arm and was curious what it takes to keep it consistent. Thanks, Brian Vogel.
Well, first I'd like to say thank you for saying stiff arm is consistent. For a brewer, that's a very large compliment, so thank you. As far as how we care for our yeast strains... So we reuse yeast about 10 times. So after 10 generations, we'd like to get a new yeast, or a new pitch of the same yeast, I guess it is. But what you run into if you go much longer than that is ale yeast. They will mutate rather quickly, and, you know, mutations come in various forms. Maybe the yeast becomes less flocculent. Maybe it eats less sugars, becomes less attenuative. I think that's the right word. Anyway... Or it could just start giving off some weird off flavors. There's various things that could happen to that yeast. And what happens is, depending on where you harvest that yeast, and by that I mean if you harvest it right after fermentation ended, or maybe it sat there for a couple days, or maybe you didn't dump off enough of these. The most commonly mutated yeast are going to be the first ones to drop out and the last ones to drop out. So if you keep harvesting very quickly off the tank and not putting a lot of that to the drain or to your local farm, you can start getting a lot of these mutated yeast cells, which still make great beer, but it's just not consistent. So if you keep doing that over, you know, 10 generations, you get some real real different yeast at the end. So we like to refresh ours, like I said, about every 10 pitches. And off of one tank, we can pitch up to two or three beers. So you can do some, calculus to figure out what that would be. But it's if you have enough tanks and everything else, you can put a lot in there. But that is one of our main waste sources. So we send it over to, I think it's Waterman Farms.
Yeah.
And,
Ohio State.
Yeah. And so they use it as fertilizer. But yeah, as far as what we actually do with the yeast, we have these modified yeast kegs, modified half barrel kegs that have a paddle stirrer in them, and they have various other fittings on them, so we can sanitarily harvest yeast and then push it back into fermenters to repitch the yeast.
And then through that time, you're looking at a microscope, seeing how the viability and vitality of that yeast as well?
Yeah, we can measure viability very easily through a staining process. Methylene blue is what we use. You can also use crystal violet for all you people who have a microscope and want to look at yeast.
Crystal violet, that's a good name.
Pretty sure it's a band name.
Should be.
We try and pitch above 90% viability. We like it, you know, higher than that, but that means 90% of those cells are healthy and good to go. And then we do the old recommended pitch of 1 million cells per mil per degree Plato. So we, after we pitch, we count, and then we actually do counts for a few more days. We're trying to really figure out our yeast, and you know, that allows us troubleshooting. If we have you know, troublesome fermentations, we can actually look at it and see, oh well, this is normally what the yeast does. So this has been a big push for us in the past 6 months, is to really understand our yeast more. We've had some not strain changes, but supplier changes, and so making sure the your stiff arm still tastes like stiff arm even after some supplier changes is very important to us. So I'll go ahead and answer a bit more. He asked if you're reusing a yeast and it becomes better over a couple of fermentations. So in reference to that, generally we don't feel as though a yeast would become better over a couple of fermentations. It would be probably, I don't want to say infected, but we have four yeast strains that we use here. Sometimes I'm sure we get some mixing of those yeast strains, just from it happens. Maybe something wasn't cleaned as well as it could have been, or something like that. And so you'll get some mixing of those strains. And we have done that, and it produced some really cool beers, but we can't reproduce it, so we we won't be doing that. But as far as if you were looking at sours, a lot of sours and the funky bugs you can get, they get better over multiple fermentations. Yeah, that's a whole other animal. But as far as yeast, we like to keep it just like it was on our initial pitch.
No, that's great.
Cool. Thanks, Brian Vogel. Get down here, get your LGU t-shirt. Appreciate you listening to the podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
And this band's going to be good. Getting louder and louder. The sound check.
Yeah, it's a good sound check.
Sound like they're going to be great.
I think we're going to go probably enjoy a Resilience IPA. Maybe grab a Quadra Hop and go enjoy Liz Cooper.
Yeah.
And the Stampede.
And the Stampede.
Yeah, I'm jumping on that Quadra Hop for sure.
So, yeah, no, thanks for listening, everyone, this week. Tune in next week. We got ourselves what? Oh, that's right. We got the Deep Search Baltic Porter Chili Cook-Off.
We're actually going to do it this time. It's not a false alarm. So if you're down here in the tap room, you might be able to dig on some of our tasty Baltic Porter chilies.
Yeah. Now, I will say, we did talk about this a couple months ago, but Ray Ray's made that, made a chili for the Winter Enchantment.
It was for the Holiday Enchantment.
That was a damn fine chili. Chili. So
real good.
Hopefully, maybe we should ask. We'll let James.
I think we're gonna play it off the stage here.
So, yeah. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Liz Cooper, for being here on the podcast.
Sound like you rock.
Look her up on Spotify. Tip your bartenders. Good stuff. Yeah. Tip your bartenders.
Cheers.
Bye.